Well, as we were singing this morning, let me know God is speaking all the time. There's not a problem with God's voice, and so if we're not hearing God, then where's the problem? It's with our hearing. And I know all about problems with hearing because I have a problem with hearing. Excuse me. But as we were here worshiping this morning, the Lord spoke to me, and if I was to title the message this morning, I would have to put it, okay, living like Jesus. How many want to live like Jesus lived? I mean, my theme song, even when my wife and I got married, was to be like Jesus. That's all I asked, nothing more, just to be like him. And how many know it's a real struggle sometimes? I think our sister this morning was talking, there's a struggle that goes on to be like Jesus. And so this morning when we were singing, and I said, living like Jesus, and the scripture I'm using is found in 2 Peter that Pastor had spoken about for a number of weeks in chapter 1. About having the divine nature of God. And he went like that, just a little click. How many know God just, he can say one word, but it's a whole encyclopedia set. And so he said, what about Mary? You know, what did I think about Mary? And it's found in Luke chapter 1, and I'll just read it briefly if you don't mind, in New King James. Chapter 1, verse 27, it goes like this. Back up a little bit. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." How many would like to have that kind of salutation from an angel? The angel Gabriel comes down and says, "Blessed are you." And I'm saying, it was because of who was within her. When we become Christians, who is within us? You think that angel would come to us and say the same thing? I believe he would. He'd say, "Blessed are you, Rick, and blessed are you, Lorraine, blessed are you, Priscilla, blessed are you, Jesse, blessed are you," because the child that's within you, well, has become a grown man, has been resurrected. Blessed are you amongst all people because God has revealed his son to you. There's a tremendous blessing when you come to think about it, isn't it? How many people are in this world that don't know Jesus? Blessed are we that we have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. All right, if you turn to 2 Peter, and I'll get there. Second Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such opportunities that you avail to each one of us to be conformed into your image and likeness and to do and live truly as your Son Jesus has. We ask, Lord, that you would reveal the words to our hearts, write them there, that they may be with us forever. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking for a tissue. See me up here. Yeah. Thank you. Praise God. God is so good. You know, as we studied this word a number of times, would you go like 4 weeks, 5 weeks on this?
At least I'm not done yet.
Yeah, and you're not done yet. But even before Pastor started it, I was doing some research on it myself because it really intrigued me. What intrigued me the most was that we might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, we can see that taking place in Peter's life. When Jesus walked on the water in the Sea of Galilee, walked out there. Some say that Jesus would have passed them by had they not cried out. And Peter's the one that came out of the boat, but there was 11 others that were left in the boat. They didn't sink because they didn't step out in faith. The only way you can sink is if you step out in faith. So Peter actually stepped out, and his divine nature took a hold of him, because the divine nature is not subject to these physical ailments that we are. Isn't that funny? How many of you have stepped out in that? Stepped out and just believed God for something beyond the normal, the natural. I don't want to use the word supernatural, but it's above the natural. It's above what we can see, taste, touch, heat, feel, all that. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond what our little finite minds can comprehend, because men especially, we live by logic and we live by reason. If it doesn't fit here and if it doesn't fit there, I can't understand it. Well, the kingdom of God is maybe not to be understood, it's to be lived in. We're supposed to walk in the kingdom of God and not take and analyze it, which I see so many people doing. And if we were to take this scripture and we look at this scripture, there's something that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, you got that when you were born again. You got that. I'm godly, not because of anything I've done. It's because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the godliness, it's just, well, God birthed me, so there's got to be some godliness happening in my life. But as you go down and it starts talking about, he's given us these exceedingly great and precious what? Promises. It's very key that we understand what that means. We've got a promise. Well, he promised I would have an opportunity to be here in front of you. And he kept his promise. Whoops. I believe that. How many believe the promises of God? Well, if you believe the promises of God, then you have the promise of God that you can be a partaker of a divine nature. Doesn't mean you become deity, but there are probably some that would struggle with that. So debate it, you know. Well, maybe not. When you're born again, you become a child of God. And if you're a child of God and you're a son of God and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, what does that make you? Anyway, it makes us to be like Christ. Amen? And I want, with my whole heart, I want to be a partaker of that divine nature. And then comes the battle. You know, how many people would like to lay hands on the sick and see him recover? All those who didn't raise your hands will pray for you. No. We'd like to see a miracle, like to see healing. Let me give you an example here. How many have watched the Ashbury thing? Is it Ashbury? Ashbury, right? That's the correct pronunciation. Well, I was watching it. I had been watching it. I watched it again. I'm watching it and watching it. And it's just the tears are welling up. I'm crying. And And I just started praying, and God started to speak to me. He says, "You think Ashbury is the only place I can move? You think Ashbury has some special quality to it? What's this town? What's this town? Is this Chester or is it
Rockingham?
You think Ashbury can't be in Rockingham? All I'm looking for is some good people that will stand firm in what they believe and start praying and believing that I love them that much that I'll come and visit them. I'll come and abide with them." It's one of those times that really impaled my heart. I said, "That's right. It's if we okay, because I'm speaking by we'll say scriptural logic or spiritual logic. If I'm a blood-bought child of God, and I'm a partaker of the divine nature, and I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and all power and authority has been given to Him, and He's been giving that He's been giving that same power and authority to us, hasn't He?" Is that giving you power over all the works of the enemy? Okay. So then, when we were singing that song, and the angels all around us, we don't see them. But how many times do we really believe that? How many times do we really believe this is holy ground? How many of us stepped into a church building at one time and you just felt the presence of God? How many felt the presence? I mean, really felt the presence of God. I've been at services where I've been standing against the wall and I just slid down the wall because the presence of God was there and just lay on the floor just weeping before God because He's so awesome. How many want to experience the awesomeness of God all the time? I guess it's not. He's put it here. He says this is His word. So I guess it's left up to us now. We have to believe what He said about us. I don't know about all you, but the family I was raised in, they definitely weren't calling me a son of God. They started off with the first two words right, but after that it all went downhill. There wasn't a whole lot of character building, you know. Wasn't any of that happening. There's a lot of things that were contrary to that. And in this world that we live in, there's a lot of things contrary to that. And then right now there's an attack against Christianity like never before in the United States by certain political people, shall we say. Is that supposed to stop us? Is that supposed to intimidate us?
It's supposed to encourage us.
I think the enemy thinks it's going to work. The enemy is going to keep on intimidating them and keep on telling them something about themselves that they don't want to hear. I'm going to keep on intimidating them because I want to replace the Word of God that is in this and in us, and He wants to replace it with something else. Let me, how many know the parable of the seed and the sower? It's a pretty common one, right? Well, I've read that thing I don't know how many times. And I started reading again. I said, "Oh my gosh, look at that. How come I never saw that before?" There's four soils that the seed was dropped in. It was the same seed, it was the same sower, right? So when you get the interpretation of the parable from Jesus, because the disciples said, "What does this mean?" I mean, Jesus, He used terms and things that the people could relate to. You're farmers. Okay, farmers. You're the planter, the seed, the ground. Let's not get complicated here. If you plant a seed on a rock, it's just going to go and if you plant it on some hard soil, it might take a little root, but and in His interpretation, He paralleled the ground or interpreted the ground. He said, "No, this ground is a person. This seed is planted into a person." How many know the very first one that fell by the wayside? How many are really familiar with that scripture? Said the seed was planted by the wayside. And the seed, in the interpretation, took root and it started to flourish. But then because didn't understand, and the parable was the ravens came and stole the seed. And the interpretation, that raven was the enemy. But the enemy says, this is the enemy came in to his heart and stole that word. That's pretty powerful when you think about it, isn't it? It means that the devil can come into our heart and steal a word. Why? Because we don't understand it, don't comprehend it. Now you might look at me perplexed like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back into the garden. The Garden of Eden. And here's Eve over by the, well, we call it an apple tree. Don't know what it was, but it was, we'll say an apple tree. And she's there, she's looking at this. I bet she's been by that tree a number of times. She's looking at that tree and saying, wow, that looks good. And the enemy says, and the serpent comes up and he's like, oh yeah, that's really good. Why don't you take a bite? Oh, no, 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 no. God says, if we do that, we're going to die. No. Did God say that? You won't die. I think it says, you surely won't die. He's just afraid that you'll become like him and you'll know more than him. It's the same parable that Jesus is speaking. The enemy comes to steal that word that God put in them. Don't eat this. If you do, you will die. He comes in, he pulls that word out, extracts it, and he puts his word in there. You won't die. Did they die? Well, whose word is true? God's word is true. It's still happening today, but it's happening in the churches. It's happening with us many times. We read this word, I can be partakers of divine nature. You can't be partakers of divine nature. How is that possible? What's, you're going to be born again? Oh, that's a clue, isn't it? Yeah, you can be born again. And I can be a partaker of the divine nature when I listen and hear and believe what he has said about me. How many find it so much easier to believe what God is saying about himself and what he can do in a person's life? It's easier to believe it's going to happen to pastor, right? Because he's different than me. He's more holy than I am. How many know that's true? I'm not speaking a fable here. You're not being honored here, by the way. It's that divine nature is for all of us. Because Jesus Christ died for all of us. The same death took place for pastor, for myself, for anybody else here, for the whole world. The same death took place. If your testimony seems like it's like this, or if it seems like it's like this, that same testimony is enough to get you into heaven because the same person died for that testimony. We shouldn't be ashamed. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. It's the power of who? It's the power of God that works in me. It's that divine nature that works in me. It's the power of God. It's the authority of Jesus Christ that has been given to us. Now, do we believe it? I'll just kind of speak for myself. I know there's times I can lay hands on people. I say, I believe something's going to happen. And there's times like, give me something. You know, are we supposed to quit then? No. We don't quit. We don't have to quit or give up. Just continue pressing on. You know, the Apostle Paul says, I press on. I press on that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That he might be like Christ. Attain to that. Not that he would be crucified or anything, but he might attain to that resurrection of the dead. Like that same belief that Jesus Christ had. How many believe that Jesus Christ had to believe, step out in faith, believing that God would raise him from the dead? Well, there's a whole certain part of humanity, but he was divine. He had a divine nature, but he had a humanity about him. Let me go a little bit more here with this. I'm sorry if this seems choppy, but... On verse 3 it says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but it was through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us those great and precious promises. It's as Pastor mentioned this morning, the scriptures sometimes are sequential. There's step by step, sequential. He gives us this godliness and a life. We have eternal life once we accept Jesus Christ. We get eternal life, so life. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins, then we've been transferred now to a life of godliness. But it was what? Through the knowledge of him. How do we get knowledge? Listen to the gossip columns. Watch CNN. Is by keeping in fellowship with fellow believers, people of like faith, by being fellowship with the Word of God and being fellowship with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, having that time. And there's a certain knowledge that comes. Well, just like this morning, I never thought of like Mary, the greeting that Mary got, was the same as what I would have or anybody else who becomes. I never thought of that. But it was the Holy Spirit that just comes and just quickens a word to you. Well, I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget. You know? But now I've used it so I won't forget. How many have received the word from the Lord that just, you know, in times like in the morning, church service, just through worship, just through a prayer time, just through reading. Do you take and jot that down? Do you write it down? Because, see, that's part of your belief system. This is all like, you might say, this is all basic stuff. It's basic, it's growth. It's living like Jesus. Like Jesus went off onto the mountain, he prayed up there, and he stayed up there all night, and he came down, and he said, now I know who the apostles are going to be. It's being in communion with God. It's being in a relationship with God. Being in relationship with one another. But being in relationship with the Word. And which do you find the easiest? And that should tell you a lot about yourself. Is it easier to read the Word? Is it easier to pray? Is it easier to worship? Is it easier to have someone come and preach to you? What's the easiest part? Where do you find your greatest strength? That's really where you should really dig in deep. If it's the Word of God, read the Word of God with me. I've, you know, like my sister, I've been praying in tongues more than I ever have. More than I ever have. Because I can just be dumb concerning the things of God. And so the Holy Spirit, when he prays, he's praying 100%. When Jesus prays for you, it's 100% accurate. It's not a miss. You know, how many pray and say, well, God, if this is your will, well, if you're saying if this is your will, then you're saying like, well, I'm not really convinced here. And there's times when we will have to say that. But I know it's God's will that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. So when it's concerning the promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature, what do you do with that passage? What do you do? I mean, you personally, me personally. What do I do with that? How do I apply that to my life? How do I take a promise and apply it to my life? Okay, what does it mean to have the divine nature? What does that mean? Does that mean I won't sin ever, ever, ever again? What does that mean? I mean, how do you apply? You have to really search yourself, search the scripture and say, well, what does that mean? How does that apply to me? Not Joe Schmo down the street, or not pastor, not anybody, but well, how does it apply to me? You see, this word was written for everybody, but when I read it, it's written for me. When you read it, it's written for you. That's pretty simple, right? God doesn't want to complicate things. He says, when you read my word, there's knowledge there. What does Proverbs say? With all you're getting, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. But it takes place when you read the word of God. When you read the word of God, when you understand it. And I'm going to close here. Because, Pastor, you've covered a lot of this, so I'm not beating the drummer. I'm just... And through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. How many know there's a condition there? Did you see the condition? You see, because God, when God speaks to us, he speaks in terms of covenant, covenantal terms. Okay, you be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. That's a condition. Having escaped that, that's how those promises come to be in our life. If you're going to continue living like a natural man or a carnal man, these promises don't apply. You have to live like Jesus lived. You have to live in that covenant. Because it goes back to the garden. It's like, well, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. Simple. If that seed falls on what? Soil that you don't... I don't understand that. Well, get to understand the word of God. Then you can really apply it to your life, is what that parable is saying. When you get a hold of it and you get the understanding, because if you look at the end, the one that had fertile soil, he understood the word of God. Understood the word of God. The one before him who had this beautiful flowering plant with absolutely no fruit. You go to church, you can look green and vibrant and everything else, but there might even be buds out there, but if they never ripen, all you got is a big green plant. God wants us to bear fruit. And the only way God has us to bear fruit is to believe his word and to step out of the boat. You want to live like Jesus? Let's get started.